southern Ukrainian ports attacked again.
The strikes pushed up global food prices as Moscow ramped up its use of force to prevent Ukrainian grain exports.
Plus, playing video games as a kid was good for this soldier's career.
Although it's tough to fly the drones well and subsequently hit a target, he says his experience with gaming gives him an advantage.
And later in the program, thought your job was stressful? Try clearing landmines. Plus, with Black Sea beaches unavailable, vacationing Ukrainians have found a new place to go. But it's got its own issues. Today is Wednesday, August 2nd. From the Voice of America, this is Flashpoint Ukraine. Good evening, I'm Steve Karish in Washington. Russian drones attacked and damaged port and grain storage facilities in southern Ukraine's coastal Odessa region early Wednesday, setting some of those facilities on fire. Video released by Ukrainian authorities shows fire crews working on the site of damaged port infrastructure in the city of Izmail in the Odessa region. Izmail is a key port in the Danube Delta from where Ukrainian grain is taken by barge to the Romanian Black Sea port of Constanta for shipment. Ukraine's Danube River ports have become a vital lifeline for Ukraine's grain exports after Russia backed out of the Black Sea grain deal in mid-July. Reuters' Lucy Fielder has more.
Russia attacked Ukraine's main inland port on the Danube River on Wednesday. The strikes pushed up global food prices as Moscow ramped up its use of force to prevent Ukrainian grain exports. Video released by Ukraine's Southern Operational Command showed ruined port buildings in Izmail, in the Odessa region. The attacks forced ships to halt and drop anchor as they prepared to dock and load up with Ukrainian grain, in defiance of a de facto blockade Russia reimposed in mid-July. Izmail has since served as the main route for Ukraine's grain exports. Photographs released by the Ukrainian prosecutor's office showed at least two wrecked silos. Reuters wasn't able to verify their location or date. There were no immediate reports of casualties. Russia has relentlessly attacked Ukrainian agricultural and port infrastructure since reintroducing the blockade. Kyiv says its aim is to persuade shippers and their insurance companies that Ukrainian ports are unsafe to resume exports. Two industry sources told Reuters operations at the port were suspended. The United Nations has warned Russia's decision to abandon the grain deal, brokered by the UN and Turkey, could cause a food crisis and hunger in the world's poorest countries.
Reuters' Lucy Fielder. Additionally, some nations that are already struggling are afraid of price hikes after Russia backed out of the Black Sea grain deal. The AP's Charles Della Desma has that story.
Egypt and some other lower-income Middle Eastern countries like Lebanon and Pakistan are worried about what comes next after Russia pulled out of the deal. They're already struggling with economic woes that have driven more people into poverty and fear rising food prices will create even more pain for households, businesses and government bottom lines. Many have diversified their sources of wheat and there is enough of the grain to go round in the world at this point. But the end of the deal that allowed Ukraine's grain to flow during a global food crisis has created uncertainty about price hikes, a major driver of hunger. I'm Charles Tiladesma.
According to Ukraine's Deputy Prime Minister, Oleksandr Kubrakov, the grain that was destroyed at the port was destined for Africa, China, and Israel. We've been hearing about the dissolution of the grain deal and the impact that it's had. For more context on the subject, VOA Ukrainian Services' Ostap Yarosh spoke with Mykola Gorbachev. He's president of the Ukrainian Grain Association.
Russia's decision to quit the grain initiative, how seriously does that undermine Ukraine's efforts to export grain to other countries, especially in Africa, in Asia, in some Latin American countries?
During the war, as before the war, our traditional market, Ukrainian traditional market, is about 30% of grain to North Africa and 40% to Asia and only 30% to Europe. We didn't change our market because we cannot sell the grain to the country which have enough grain without us. What we did, we use European infrastructure just to help Ukraine to export more. But in the past 6 months, we improve our river infrastructure, and for the moment we can export about 2 million tons by Danube. And on the same time, we can continue to export through the railway about 1 million ton and 0.5 million ton by trucks. When we export by trucks or by railway, it means we will use European infrastructure somewhere in Poland or in Romania, and after we will load vessels on Gdynia or Gdansk or in Romania and Constanta.
What can be done by the international community to assure that the most vulnerable people in the world get grain from Ukraine?
First of all, people should understand that Ukraine exports more than 50 million tons grain and oil seeds per year. It's more than 12-13% from total world trade market. And if Ukraine will not export this grain, all of us will pay food inflation. People in developed country, okay, they will pay additional 10-15% for food, but people in developing country, they are not so rich enough to purchase such expensive grain. And I think the payment of this will be huge migration, it will be revolution and other problems. That's why international community should punish Russia.
What are the ways Ukraine can export its grain right now that Ukraine is probably discussing, reviewing, like alternative routes, alternative ways how to get grain out of Ukraine to the people who need that?
In the past season, we export 58 million ton grain and oil seeds. Plus, additionally, we export about 9 million ton oil and sunflower seeds cake. For the next campaign, our forecast is that we can export about 45 million ton grain and oil seeds, and additionally about 9 million ton oil and sunflower seeds. Technically, we can export for the moment about 3.5 million ton per month, and without our seaports. But before the war, we could export 7 million ton per month only through our Black Sea ports. That's why I hope we'll find the solution how to export the grain by sea, because it's the cheapest logistic which we can find. And in this case, we will help developing country and all other countries who will need to purchase the food to take the most efficient price for food around the world.
Mykola Gorbachev, president of the Ukrainian Grain Association, speaking with Ostap Yarsh of VOA's Ukrainian service. For Ukrainian farmers, the shelling of the ports and the demise of the grain deal present more challenges as they try to make a living during wartime. Anna Kostachenko has more from the Kyiv region in this report, narrated for us today by Anna Rice.
German native Dietrich Dreis has been an independent consultant on farming and agriculture in Ukraine since 2005. When Russia invaded Ukraine, he decided to stay in the country despite the risks and has been supporting Ukraine's armed forces since day one of the war. In late June, his company organized a charity event to support Ukraine's military.
Money went into the project for buying drones, and I personally contributed.
Dreis grew up at a farm in Bavaria. He came to Ukraine in 1999 for the first time and fell in love with the country. In 2017, he started working with a German-Ukrainian agricultural project of the Federal Ministry of Food, Agriculture and Consumer Protection. He has been used to transporting his grain to the world via the Black Sea. But Russian shelling is making it difficult, and transporting grain over land is more expensive.
If it be a longer time, if it will be port facility destroyed, then I think we mean all, not our farm, but all Ukrainian farmers will be in a very big problem.
Dreis calculates that his company could lose about $1 million solely because of the switch to land transportation. He also worries Russian forces might destroy the grain that is sitting in ports.
Next year, this time, actually, I have to have empty stores to store my new harvest. Store for 2 years without losing or spoiling the grain, but I don't have the storage for the next harvest.
Russia's leaving the grain deal affected the global market. But, he says, poor countries are feeling the biggest impact.
The poor people in the world will suffer for a long time.
Despite the war and the unpredictability of the export situation, Trice says he has no plans to leave Ukraine. For Anna Kostyuchenko in Kyiv region, Ukraine, Anna Rice, VOA News.
You're listening to VOA's Flashpoint Ukraine. I'm Steve Karish. Playing video games as career training? That story coming up soon. Now, the Odessa and Kyiv regions were targeted in overnight drone attacks, plus a large-scale draft-dodging scheme is uncovered in Ukraine. Anna Chernikova in Kyiv brings us the latest.
What we know in general that Ukrainian air defense destroyed 23 drones, but some drones actually hit some of the facilities, grain facilities and agricultural facilities in the Odessa region. All drones that were targeting Kyiv were destroyed. There are damages of the administrative buildings in three Kyiv neighborhoods, but no victims are reported. It was quite loud in Kyiv tonight, so it was another sleepless night for Kyiv citizens, similarly to Odessa citizens and especially Odessa region citizens.
Anna, it's nice to hear that there were no human casualties, though we understand that the attacks did have several different kinds of effects. Can you tell us the results of some of these attacks from last night?
Well, yes, if we're talking about Kyiv, three districts were affected in the capital and administrative buildings were damaged. But more damages were reported from the Odessa region. And President Zelensky confirmed this in his morning speech at his official channel that actually, due to this attack, one of the grain elevators were damaged in the Odessa region.
And has that had any measurable effect on the price of grain, on Ukraine's ability to ship and export grain to world markets?
Actually, yes. And definitely this latest attacks, because we can see that Russian forces are targeting, recently are targeting grain facilities and agricultural facilities in Ukraine. And this has its effect on the grain market. But particularly this attack over the night, according to Reuters report, actually they're saying that this particular attack is causing increase on the price of wheat on the international market by 6.5%. So we can understand that, well, this is quite a big deal.
A big deal indeed. Certainly not the only thing being talked about in Ukraine today. One story I read it in the Washington Post. Apparently there is a scandal of people trying to avoid military service, dodging the draft in Ukraine and falsifying medical records to do so. Can you tell us what the story is there?
Yes, actually, Steve, it's yet another scandal. I can put it this way because it's not the first case like this in Ukraine, but probably this is the biggest and the highest scale case like this, because according to the investigation, the heads of the military, local military authorities were also involved in that. And according to what we know from the investigation for the moment, that basically the Military Medical Commission was faking documents for those who paid money, who bribed, men were getting this fake medical documents confirming that they are not able to serve in the army due to the health conditions.
And how many people are we talking about?
We do not really have the final or the total number of people who already used this, let's put it this way, so-called service. For now, we know that this was the investigation found out that this was happening in at least 10 regions of Ukraine, including the city of Kyiv. We are talking here about the bribe of around $6,000 US dollars.
And is there any indication yet that the folks who are doing this are sympathizers with the Russians or simply not wanting to fight?
Well, according to the investigation, just people simply not wanting to fight. So it was not reported that there are people who supported Russian actions or wanted to go to basically be on the Russian side or had any did any actions in the support of Russian full scale invasion. So they just simply wanted to escape the country, because this particular procedure was giving them an opportunity to actually go abroad. And this was the main goal for these people.
And we'll leave it there for today. We'll definitely be following up with you as more news develops on both of these stories. Anna Chernikova in Kyiv. Anna, as always, thanks for your time today.
Thank you, Steve.
Ukrainian drone pilot Mikhailo tests a new first-person drone near the southeastern Zaporizhia frontline as the army's counteroffensive persists against Russia. The 25-year-old says playing video games has helped him better control actual weapons, which he says can attack at tremendous speed and from great height, making them a serious threat to enemy troops. Lauren Anthony has more.
In an undisclosed part of the Zaporizhia region of Ukraine sits drone pilot Mikhailo. He's testing self-made first-person view drones not far from the front line, where the Ukrainian army pushes on with its counter-offensive against Russian troops. The drone's propellers hum as the small black object zips around in the air. It might look effortless, but 25-year-old Mikhailo says controlling them is no easy feat. Although it's tough to fly the drones well and subsequently hit a target, he says his experience with gaming gives him an advantage.
Since I've been transferred to this unit to work with drones, every time I put on my goggles and take the joystick, I recall my mother telling me that those video games would not do me any good. Well, if this isn't useful, then what is?
But the drones aren't part of an imaginary video game. They instead play a central role in the very real Russia-Ukraine war, deployed on both sides. Mikhailo says the performance of these FPV drones differs from others. There are big drones that can fly hundreds of miles, some that hover over the battlefield taking pictures, and others that carry weapons to drop on targets. But the FPVs are designed to crash straight into a target, steered by a pilot wired into a virtual reality headset. Unlike other drones that can be sent up and monitored, the FPV drones never simply hover. They're always flying fast and looking forward. Their cameras don't even point downwards. Mikhailo says there's a constant game of cat and mouse with enemy troops, who try to interfere with remote signals using electronic warfare systems.
We received a new batch of drones yesterday, and today we are going to test them. We will see how they work at a distance, whether the connection is lost or not, and so on. Because we must check every drone we get. It might have some defective parts, or certain things might not work.
Troops at the spearhead of Ukraine's counteroffensive said a battle last week along the front in the southeast proved to be tougher and bloodier than expected. Combat footage shared by the Ukrainian army's press service showed explosions in Russian dugouts, said to be caused by Ukrainian FPV drones. Reuters was not able to verify the date or the location the army drone footage was filmed. Both Ukrainian and Russian forces have used a wide array of drones during the war, for both reconnaissance and assault purposes.
That's Reuters' Lauren Anthony. Scores of Ukrainian sappers were training to clear minefields that bedevil troops as they try to recapture Russian-held territory in the south and east. This story produced by Zachary Goleman.
A Ukrainian counteroffensive is making slow but steady progress in liberating Russian-controlled territory. That's according to an advisor to the country's defense minister. One of the most significant obstacles facing Kyiv's forces, landmines. This Ukrainian sapper, who goes by the call sign Adam's Apple, demonstrates just why the advance is so slow. He's using what he calls a mine probe to check for the kind of explosives that can maim or kill his countrymen. A patch on his uniform reads, "No room for error." An instructor, who gave his name as Alexander, said, "The war means a thin, pointed stick is the best tool for this dangerous and vital duty."
Across the front line, fields are entirely covered. It is impossible to use mine detectors because the entire area is covered with shrapnel. Fields and the woods are covered with shrapnel. A sapper has to use a mine probe and move forward slowly.
He showed off special boots sappers wore that are meant to save their legs if they accidentally step on an anti-personnel mine. Sometimes they find unexploded ordnance after troops advance. There's only one way to safely dispose of it. Ukraine's summer offensive has thus far moved slowly, only recapturing several hundred square kilometers, a tiny fraction of the territory still under Russian control. Three different media outlets cited unnamed U.S. officials as saying Kyiv had launched a new phase of its ambitious campaign. Russian President Vladimir Putin told Russian television that every Ukrainian assault had been beaten back and that Moscow's forces had inflicted significant losses on their opponents. Reuters could not independently verify the battlefield reports.
Reuters' Zachary Goldman with that story. And finally today, I think everyone would agree that a summer vacation on the beach can be a nice, relaxing way to spend some time. It's no different in Ukraine, although there, the Black Sea beaches are either occupied by Russian forces or too close to the shelling to be relaxing. As a result, families are flocking to the inland shores of the Tylihol estuary. But authorities and some residents worry that the crowds could damage an important and delicate natural habitat. Reuters' Alice Rizzo has that story.
With most of Ukraine's Black Sea coast either occupied by Russian troops or in their line of fire, families seeking respite from a life in a war zone are flocking here, to the inland shores of the Tylihol. But authorities and some residents worry that the crowds could damage an important and delicate natural habitat. After the Kakhovka Dam under the Dnipro River was blown up nearly 2 months ago, the Kinburn Spit, a vast Black Sea nature reserve, was destroyed by flooding. There was hope that birds could find refuge here instead. Ina Timchenko is the deputy head of the Mykolaiv Regional Department of the National Institute of Ecology.
The main problem here is not tourists themselves, but their cars and tents. They are placed in chaotic order. Tourists don't know where it is all right to leave a car and where it is not, so they park wherever they want. That's how vegetation cover is being destroyed. Noise affects the birds. They partially got used to the noise, but loud noises are unusual for them this year. It will lead to grave consequences in this area.
Local resident Petro Kalinchuk has been coming to the river with his family for nearly 50 years. He said he used to see birds nesting and brooding eggs on the beach. Now, with the larger crowds, he says all the birds are gone.
There are two sides to a coin. On one hand, we understand that there is no access to the sea and people want to relax somewhere. On the other hand, we know that the estuary won't survive such an amount of people. First of all, garbage disposal wasn't organised and there are no toilets here.
Families soak up the sunshine, with the front line only a few hours' drive away. As long as the war goes on, and with holiday spots limited, they say they will keep coming, desperate for the relief of some respite.
Alice Rizzo of Reuters reporting for us. And that'll do it for us today. Stay up to date with continuing coverage of Ukraine and news from around the world 24 hours a day. Visit us online at voanews.com, and on social media, be sure to follow VOA News. On behalf of the entire Flashpoint Ukraine team, thanks for listening. Until next time, I'm Steve Karish.
This is the voice of America. Washington, DC.